Let the church say amen. Church say amen again. And one more time for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
How many of you know it's good to be in the house of the Lord? Let's give God one more praise offering in this place. Don't ever take life for granted. Where last year, the 26 death that we saw in Trenton, and the 62 that we saw in Camden, and the 500 that we saw in Chicago, reminds us that life is but a vapor. It can be here one moment and gone the next. But I mean, you know that when everything else is fading away, that God and God's eternal word never fades away. Only what you do for Christ will last. Amen, somebody. So we welcome those of you who are just coming into the house of worship this day. Pray that you've been blessed through what we call prayer. The effectual fervency of prayer availeth much. We pray that you've been blessed through what we call praise. How many of you know that God inhabits the praises of his people? But now we not just do prayer and praise, but we also stand to preach and proclaim his word. So I invite you to stand with us to your feet and turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, the 31st chapter. Proverbs 31, and I want to read verses 1 through 9. I want you to say amen when you've located that text. There the word of God reads as follows. Proverbs 31, starting in verse number 1. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for the kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget this his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth and judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and may it sanctify God's people. I would that you pray with me this morning on the title of today's sermon. Why are we so blessed? Why are we so blessed? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that words spoken, words written thousands of years ago, and words proclaimed today would not return void, but that they may accomplish that which you intended for them to accomplish. May hearts be encouraged today. Help somebody know trouble doesn't last always, and that you will wipe every weeping tear from their eye. Help somebody to know that you, God, will illuminate our minds and that you want to teach us things we did not know. And ultimately, God, I pray that you would convict somebody's soul who does not know you in the pardon of sin, or who think that they are the captain of their own ship and the master of their own fate. Help them to understand that sooner that they submit to your will, the better off it will be for their lives. So, Father, have your way today, I pray. I ask, Holy Ghost, for your anointing in this place, anointing that makes singing invigorated and preaching live, God. Have your way that we may hear what you want to say and see what you want to do. And, God, we shall be careful to give your name the glory, the praise, and all of the honor. For you alone are worthy on this day to be praised. That all of God's children say, the redeemed of the Lord. Let us say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Ushers, you may be seated. Today is the third weekend in the month of January. It is the Sunday before the third Monday, which America has by legislation designated as the time to celebrate the life of the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It is a time where we as Americans ought to stop and to thank God for a man who was used of God to be a blessing to God's people. It is a time where you and I ought to pause and to realize that this great humanitarian and this great American did a work that only God could have done through him. And so the rhetorical question that I bring before the men and the women who are gathered in this place on this day is a question to which we know the answer, I pray. And that is, why are we blessed? And the only answer is because God saw fit to bless us. Because any other answer is an erroneous answer. It is a wrong answer. Because if you think you are blessed because of how educated you are, then I'm here to remind you, you're wrong. And if you think you're blessed because of all the degrees behind your name, I'm here to remind you that you're wrong. And if you think that you're blessed because of the three letters and the two colors that you might don as a part of your Black Greek letter organization, I'm here to remind you that you're wrong. And if you think you're blessed because of who you know and what political hookups you have, I'm here to remind you that you're wrong. You're only blessed because God had enough grace and mercy to look beyond all of our stuff and to deem it fit for all of us to open our eyes this morning and to have a little bit of something to put on our back and inside of our bodies. We are blessed for no other reason than that God so loved the world that he decided to give his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth upon him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And that's not just life on the other side. That's life right now. How many of you know you can have life right now? Because if you know Jesus, that's what living is all about. And so, beloved, this rhetorical question of why are we so blessed, let's make sure that we understand at the outset that it has nothing to do with you and me. It has everything to do with the God of heaven and earth, that you and I are blessed. And the question presumes something that you already know, that you are blessed, because to ask why am I blessed is to come to the conclusion that you're already blessed. And if you didn't know you were blessed, and I'm here to remind you that you are blessed because you're sitting here today. Amen, somebody. Because I'm sure that you are like me, that somebody counted you out on last year. Or somebody gave you up for dead on last week. Or somebody stabbed you and thought you were gone on last Sunday. But I'm here to tell that somebody, the devil is a liar, because you're still here. And the fact that you're still here means that no weapon formed against you has prospered. The fact that you are still here means that you are more than a conqueror. The fact that you are still here means that you can do all things through Jesus Christ, who gives you strength. The fact that you thought you were going to lose your mind, that God kept you in your right mind, woke you up on a Sunday morning, gave you a little food on your table, a hood shoved over your head, you are still here. And because you are here, you are abundantly blessed. And so the statement then, why am I blessed, has to presume that you know that you are blessed, and you know that you are blessed when you understand that there but for the grace of God go you and I. Had it not been for the Lord on our side, where would you and I be? And so thanks be to God when you got news that mama took her last breath. Thanks be to God that God kept you. When you got that pink slip and your job was terminated and you did everything you can, and God has still allowed your needs to be met. And in the meantime, while you're looking for another job, and I'm talking to somebody in here, you know that you are still blessed. When your children, you've done everything you can and you've let them go to do what only they can do, which is to choose the Lord for themselves. And even though they were out there choosing everything else, when your child comes back to find themselves, you know that you are abundantly. When your marriage has been on the rocks and you've been praying for your husband or for your wife, and somehow, some way, there's been a breakthrough in the midst of a situation, you know that you are abundantly blessed. So then why am I blessed? It's not because of me. And yes, I know that I'm blessed. And here's my point. I've stopped trying to figure out why I'm so blessed. Because God's favor falls on the just and the unjust. It rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. And yet you need to stop trying to figure out why you're so blessed and start thinking, God, that you are blessed. Because I still long ago left the understanding of what the songwriter says. I don't know why Jesus loves me, and I don't know why he cares. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad. Anybody glad today that the Lord looked beyond your stuff and gave you another chance? He's not only a God of a second chance, he's a God of another chance. I thank you, God, that you love me the way you love me. And so this question is relevant on a day when we pause to celebrate the life of a great American, a great humanitarian, the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. And I always say this, that let us not ever reduce him to just being the day to be just MLK Day. Because for me to just reduce this day as MLK Day is to reduce the stature and the status of a great man whom God used in a great way. And so it is not just that Reverend Dr. King had a doctorate, a PhD behind his name that he earned from Boston University in systematic theology, one of the hardest fields of the theological disciplines. He was an erudite man. He was a smart man. He was a learned man on Morehouse campus when he was 16 at Crozet Theological Seminary in his late teens, and at Boston University in his early 20s, earning a PhD from Boston University, one of the leading research institutions in all of America, and he earned it in the mid-50s or the early 50s. And if we cannot take a lesson from that and tell our children, I don't care how many obstacles are against you, you can still learn if you want to learn. And we need to turn our dropout factories and figure out how to get our kids some education. Because you cannot survive in 21st century America if you don't have some learning behind your name. And so Dr. King went all the way and got a PhD, and it inspires me to want to do my best to learn as much as I can. And so there's a lesson here for our young people and all of our college students. Let me see my college Zetas and college Sigmas, and raise your hand, those of you in college. I figured y'all be sitting together right up front. That you all have to indeed do the best that you can. Go as far as you can, because somebody's depending on you to be the best that you can be, so that you can accomplish and open doors for the folk coming behind you. Amen, somebody. Dr. King did that. Dr. King not only was a learned man, but he was also a family man. He had a mama and a daddy. And in a day, the junior signifies that he was somebody's son. He was Martin Luther King Jr. And so his daddy, Martin Luther King Sr., was there for his son. His mama was there for her son. And in a day in 21st century America when 72% of black children are still born out of wedlock, we need to figure out a way to turn the tide on America's family structure, because we cannot continue to have babies and not have them raised in the way that God would have had them, wanted them raised. If it took two to make the baby, it ought to take two to raise the baby. And I'm not knocking my single sisters who do an awesome job of raising their children. Give all of our single women a hand, our single mothers. To God be the glory. And I'm not knocking our single brothers who do an awesome job raising their children. Give God a praise offering for our single men who are raising their children. But I'm also celebrating the fact of mama and daddy who are standing in the gap, who are there for their children. Give all of our parents who mothers and fathers are there for their children to do what they're supposed to do. Give them a hand of encouragement. Dr. King was who he was, I believe firmly and wholeheartedly, because he had a strong family unit behind him. And not that you have to have a mother and father in order to be successful, but I believe it is so much better. It is within God's ordained time or plan that mother and father would be there to instill and impart wisdom and knowledge and discernment into their children. And the Reverend Dr. King had that. But the thing that strikes me most about Reverend Dr. King was the reverend in front of his name. And it is not because he had a title that made him any more special, but I believe he knew who God was and what God could do. That he had his own personal relationship with God. And the reverend simply bespeaks of me that he was a man of God. And how many of you know that when you've got God on your side, all things are possible? When you've got God on your side, God will open doors that no man can shut. When you've got God on your side, God will move mountains that no man can put in your way. When you've got God on your side, he'll build bridges over troubled waters, and he'll make your enemies your footstool. How many of you've got God on your side today? How many of you know that you have what you have, drive what you drive, live where you live, wear what you wear, because God has been on your side today. Amen, somebody. And so the Reverend King was only able to speak on the Mall of America and tell America about his dream because God was on his side. He was only able to stand in Memphis, Tennessee the night before his assassination because God was on his side. He was able to stand in Oslo, Norway and receive the Nobel Peace Prize because God was on his side. And I need us never to let anybody reduce this day and this weekend to simply MLK Day. No, it is the celebration of the life of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And he was one of God's greatest servants here on these shores of America. And I honor him today. And I thank God for his life. And he was what he became because I believe mother and father. But in this case, I want to get to the text that to whom much is given, much is required. I believe that if you know you're blessed, then you have to come to the conclusion that I'm not just blessed for me to get what I can get and do what I can do only for myself. No, I am blessed in order to be a blessing. And the Bible is replete with statements about our responsibility for those who are not as blessed as we are. Put the screen back up to Luke 12:48 says, "Right, to whom much is given, much is required. From him to whom much is given, much will be required." The second part of that says, "And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." In the book of Deuteronomy, it says, "You shall not oppress a hired servant who is poor and needy." It assumes that you have means in order to hire somebody else. And if you do, there's nothing wrong with giving other folk a job. Some folk work in folks' homes, that's all right. Other folks work in folks' corporations, that's all right. But how you treat those who work for you has all the difference in the world in terms of are you saved or are you not saved? Do you know who God is and why God has blessed you the way he's blessed you? Psalm 82 says this, "Defend the poor and fatherless, and do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and needy, free from them, free them from the hand of the wicked." And here's my point, beloved. I believe that for every opportunity, there is a responsibility. And for every responsibility, we must hold folk accountable. And there is then accountability. So these three words of opportunity, responsibility, and accountability are those that are embedded in this text in which King Lemuel's mama begins to speak words of wisdom to her son. I want you to look in the text very closely and what it says. She says to her son, "Son, you are a king. In other words, I want you to remember who you are and whose you are. I want you to act like you know who you are. I want you to remember that you are a man of stature and status, and that you cannot do anything and walk any old way. And I look at our children today and I'm reminded of the fact that they have somehow not been told, or they have omitted the fact that they are God's kings and queens. Because some of these boys have their pants down their hips, and they've forgotten that they're somebody's king. And some of our girls got their clothes so tightly wound around their bodies that they forgot that they are somebody's queen. And if we can remind them that they are somebody's king, not only somebody, God's king and God's queen, then maybe they will realize who they are and they will act a certain kind of way. But when you've forgotten who you are and whose you are, then the devil can get you out there to act any old way. But when you've got a mama in your life who can shake you up and say, remember, I didn't raise you to be like that. Remember, I raised you better than that. Remember, I expect more of you than that. Our children are not having that same kind of accountability being laid upon them. And so as a consequence, our children are all over the map right now. And I don't want to say it's to blame the parents, and I don't want to completely blame the children, but somewhere along the way, we've lost something that we had 50, 60, 70 years ago. And so King Lemuel's mama, and no, I didn't say mother. I said mama. Because where I'm from in South Central Lee, if you talked about my mama, those were, you know, some furs we had to take care of some things with. You can talk about my mother, that's a different kind of conversation. But you talked about my mama, that's a different kind of thing. We need to come up and deal with that. And so his mama speaks to him and says, son, remember you're king. And I need to throw this part in there because I'm speaking to some sisters today from the Sisters of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated and everybody else in the room. She said to her son, be careful of certain kind of women. It's right there in the text now. Look at it. Verse number 1, 2, and 3. It says it right there. It says, be mindful of certain kind of women. And her admonition to her son is simply to be careful to whom you give your pearls. Amen, somebody? Be careful to whom you give your valuable intimacy, your sense of understanding. And so she says, be mindful, my son. Don't give your strength to women. But if I can turn that thing around and I can say to the sisters, be careful, sisters, who you give your intimacy to. Don't let any brother come snapping up to you and remind you that you are not somebody's queen. You need to be treated like a queen. You need to be talked to like a queen. You need to be cared for like a queen. If they're not treating you like a queen, you need to come on to the curb. Amen, somebody. But the crux of what King Lemuel's mama says to him is actually found for the purpose of today's sermon in verses 8 and 9. She says to her son, son, open your mouth for the speechless, and open your mouth for the poor, and open your mouth for the needy. And if I can stop there and say that she's reminding her son of a responsibility that he has because he's been given an opportunity to be the king. And I'm here to say that you and I have been the recipient of many opportunities that have emanated out of the civil rights movement of the 1960s and the late early 70s, I should say, that you and I have been given the right to public accommodations because Dr. King and others opened their mouths, that you and I have been given the right to public transportation. We can ride on buses and fly on planes because somebody opened their mouth, that you and I have been given the right to public
education, because we can sit in classrooms with other people of different races, because Dr. King and others opened their mouths. And I'm here to remind you and I that because we have been given opportunity, that we have the position, you can't necessarily be a part of these Greek-led organizations until you've gone and done some training at somebody's secondary institution, or an institution of higher education. And because you've been given the opportunity to go to college, then we don't turn around and look down on somebody else because they don't have a college degree. In point of fact, you were able to go to Howard. You were able to go to Hampton. You were able to go to Spelman. You were able to go to BU and Stanford and Harvard and Princeton and FAMU and all of these other schools because somebody else paved the way for you and I to have an opportunity. And how dare we then take what was given to us as opportunity and then turn around and become elitist. The thing I hate most is when folk who didn't have anything get a little bit of something and pretend like they've always had what they had. I have very little patience for high sedity, overly sophisticated, pompous, egocentric folk who think the world revolves around them when just a year ago you didn't have a dime to your name, but because God was good to you and opened a door that no man can open, that God made a way, you ought to be thanking the Lord, praising God. Come on, somebody. God didn't allow Darrell Armstrong to go to Stanford University and Princeton Seminary for me just to say, look at what I've done. No, if I'm not using my blessings to be a blessing to somebody else, then God's going to snatch the blessing. Sisters, those five pearls did not do what they did on the campus of Howard University on January 16, 1920, just so we can sit and attire ourselves in our lovely royal blue and white. No, they did it so we can uplift our community and make life better for those who are coming behind us. Brother Sigmas, our three founders of the Wanderers Band, did not found our great fraternity for us just to sit around and do a lot of meeting and eating and greeting. We've got to be on the battlefield and help somebody have a better life. And I can go for any other color, red and white, black and gold, blue and gold, crimson and cream, whatever the color, purple and gold, whatever your colors. By those of us who have been given a privilege, an opportunity, we have a responsibility to help somebody else. Dr. King said, if I can help somebody as I travel along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or a song, if I can show somebody that they're living well, then my living has not been in vain. We've been given too much in order to not help somebody else. I am convinced that if every black entertainer, every black athlete, every black politician just pulled a little bit of the money that God has blessed them with and used it for the upliftment of poor, poverty-stricken folk in some of our communities, we would see a change of the tide. The Bible says, King Lemuel, don't forget the speechless, those who don't have voice to speak for themselves. That's why I gave you the erudition of mind. I gave you the facilitation of your tongue so that you can stand in somebody's courtroom, in somebody's schoolroom, in somebody's boardroom and speak on behalf of those who will never see places you've been to. Why did God bless you? Not just for you, but to be a blessing for those coming behind you. And so King Lemuel's mama says to him, open up your mouth, son, for the speechless. She goes on to say, open up your mouth, son, for the poor and for the needy, those who don't have the basic things that you and I have. And I'm from South Central LA, and I'm not ashamed to say it. And I remember when I was a kid, my mama was so poor that we had to stand in line to get government cheese and get some of the other stuff. We had to go down to the county welfare building. I remember that as a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, 5-year-old, before my time, when my mama and her boyfriend allowed something dastardly to happen to us, we were taken away and put into foster care. I remember that stuff. And so now that I've gone to Stanford and Princeton, so-called elite institutions, how dare I forget where I started from? Because nobody told me that the road would be easy. But I just refuse to believe that I've come this far for God to leave me now. No, He sent me to those places that I can tell somebody that what God has done for me, He can also do for you. My God, some of us don't even realize our blessings and what God is calling us to do and calling us to be. And so she says, son, open up your mouth for the speechless and for the poor and for the needy and for those who don't have everything that you have. And I believe that those of us in these elite organizations, be they this or be they black Greek letter organizations or be they other fraternal and sororal organizations or be they pre-professional organizations, you have not been given that access just for you. You've got to help somebody else. You've got to cheer somebody else. You've got to motivate somebody else. You've got to empower somebody else. You've got to lift up somebody else. You've got to push somebody else. Because I'm reminded that if Dr. King had not opened up his mouth, there would be no black man sitting on Pennsylvania Avenue as the president of the United States of America. Barack Hussein Obama is a direct corollary to the fact that Dr. King opened up his mouth, and that Charles Ignatius Brown opened up his mouth, and that Sister Eddie Pearl opened up her mouth, and that other folk opened their mouths to speak truth to power and say that we expect other things to happen for those who are coming behind us. And so as we get ready to celebrate the celebration of a great man in the White House, let us remember he is only there because somebody opened up their mouths. And let me say this, it was interesting, I got a letter recently from an anonymous shadow member. And I love it when I get anonymous letters from members. It was signed, "A Sheep in Your Flock." And the letter said a few things, but this one's the one I want to make the point about. It said, "Pastor, when you preach, I notice that a lot of women jump up and they shout and they get excited. And I notice that a lot of men don't do as much shouting and jumping as the sisters do." And she said, "Why do you think that is, Pastor Armstrong? Period. Question mark." And I said to myself, now, this is interesting. Since I don't know who the sheep is that sent me the letter, I can't read. So this is an open letter to one of the sheep in my congregation. That those sisters who are jumping up, I pray that they are jumping up for all the right reasons. Come on, somebody. And that those brothers who are sitting there stoic, that they're not sitting there stoic because they don't realize that the Lord has been good to them. And so I don't want to jump to any conclusions because I know that everybody doesn't praise the Lord the same way. So I know some folk can sit there and be a little more quiet, and I know that some other folk can get excited and jump up, but I say every time, you don't have to swing from the chandeliers and jump over the pews in order to praise the Lord. But if you're sitting there and you know the Lord has been good to you, I'm hard pressed that you can't just wave a finger, or you just can't bat an eye, or you just can't tap a toe. But if you know the Lord has brought you from a mighty long way, you ought to give just a little bit of something to the Lord. You ought to say, "Thank you, God." You ought to say, "Hallelujah to your name." You ought to say, "Glory be to God." Has God been good to somebody? Has God made a way for somebody? Has God built a bridge for somebody? Hallelujah. But here's the postscript on my letter to an anonymous church writer. My last question was, maybe we ought not be so concerned about other folks' praise and be more concerned about my praise. Because if I'm more concerned about my praise, even if they don't want to praise the Lord, they're not going to stop me from getting my shadow. Come on, somebody. Forget about other folk. You praise them for yourself. You magnify them for yourself. You give them glory for yourself. If the rocks don't, if they don't cry, the rocks will cry out. My pastor back at Holy Life Missionary Baptist Church in L.A. used to say, amen, light bulb. Because if the folk don't say amen, I'll get an amen from the light bulbs. Because somebody knows how good God has been. Up above my head, I hear music in the air. Up above my head, I hear joy bells ringing, angels singing. There must be a God somewhere. Open up your mouth, King, and give God some praise. Open up your mouth, give God some glory. Open up your mouth, speak truth to power. Open up your mouth and stop dancing where there's no music. Open up your mouth, stop itching where you don't scratch. Open up your mouth, stop trying to please other folk and please God. Open up your mouth, stop compromising your body. Open up your mouth and know where your blessings come from. Because all of my help cometh from the Lord. If we in 21st century America, with all that we've been given, access to internet, can Google anything, anytime, anywhere, driving the nicest of cars, living in the fanciest of houses, if they can do in Montgomery in 1955 what they did, how come we can't do more in 2013 with what we have? America, and Black America particularly, God has been too good to us for us to close our mouths right now. Stop standing by and looking at, and start opening your mouth and speaking to. And I believe that when we open up our mouths, that God's glory will begin to reign. And the people of who are not yet believers will see the God that is inside of you. If you know the Lord has been good to you, then you should not sit on the sidelines. But you need to open up your mouth and let the glory of the Lord shine through you. That somebody may come to know God for themselves. Because if he did it for me, he can do it for you. I believe that's King Lemuel's mama's advice to him. Son, remember your opportunity. Remember your responsibility. And if you don't do what I told you to do, I'm going to have to remind you of your accountability. I'm so glad I have a president of the United States of America who said, I know what it means to be a single son. Don't know my daddy. Maybe didn't have health care. I know what it means to be a part of the 47%. So I'm going to open up my mouth and I'm going to speak truth. And I don't care if the Republicans on the other side of the aisle don't vote for me. I'm tired of seeing kids massacred on the streets of America. I support the president's ban on assault weapons because he opened up his mouth. Somebody has health care today because he opened up his mouth. And America has a financial institution, an automobile making institution, because he opened up his mouth. Kids and boys and girls are home from Afghanistan and Iraq because he opened up his mouth. Great things can happen when you open up your mouth. You may never be a president, but you are a child of God. Open up your mouth, beloved. Open up your mouth and give God the glory and the praise. Somebody give God a praise offering in this place. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Deacons and deaconess, everyone standing if you can. Clergy, help me extend an invitation to Christian discipleship. This is our time to invite somebody to give their life over to the Lord. There are many different religions in the world, and I make no bones about it. Muslim friends, Jewish friends. Come on. Here's a sister coming right now. Somebody give God a praise offering in this place. God bless you, young ladies. In the name of Jesus, what we want to say is that before the choir sings, that I believe that someone needed to hear this message. And I don't care what your state is in life, I believe God has more for you. But the only way you're going to get it is by letting go and letting God. And so I want someone to step out and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I want to give my life to the Lord. Come on, somebody give God a praise offering. Bless your sister. Yeah. We'll walk you down. To God be the glory. And so I want to do two things. There's church membership, and then there's relationship. And we believe in God the Father, and that the only way to God the Father is through God the Son. And so it is my sincere prayer today that someone would say, I want to know God the Father. And so I want to come forward and give my preacher my hand and give God my heart. Somebody has been trying to do this by themselves for far too long. And God is saying, step out. Step out and let me have it, God is saying. So as the choir sings, the invitations are extended to someone. And I want you to let the Lord have his way. Come on, choir. Lift up the name of the Lord in this place. Put your hands together.
Yeah, victory is mine.
Victory.
Victory is mine.
Oh, yeah.
Victory today is mine.
Yeah,
I told Satan.
Get thee
behind.
Oh, victory today is mine.
Yeah.
Victory is mine.
Victory.
Victory.
Victory today.
Yeah, I told Satan,
get thee.
Yeah, victory today is mine.
Say joy.
Oh, joy. Oh, joy.
Joy.
Oh, yeah.
Joy today.
Yeah, I told Satan,
get thee.
Oh, joy today is mine.
Say happiness.
Oh, happiness in mine. Oh, happiness. Oh, yeah. Happiness today. Oh,
I told Satan,
get thee.
Oh,
happiness today is mine.
Say peace.
Oh, peace
in mine.
Oh, peace. Oh, yeah, peace today. Well,
I told Satan,
get thee.
Well,
peace today is mine.
Victory is
mine. Oh, victory is
mine.
Oh, victory, victory is mine. Victory today.
Well,
I told Satan. Satan.
My foes say,
get thee.
Get thee my
victory today is mine.
Somebody put your hands together and give God a praise offering in this place. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we thank you today for what our eyes have seen and our ears have heard and our hearts have felt. Thank you for your word. For at the end of the day, we have nobody and nothing else. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God shall stand forever. Thank you, Father, for your word. Help us to take it in, live it, and stand upon it. And so, God, if there's someone else under the sound of my voice who was on the verge of coming forward, I pray, Holy Ghost, that you would draw them nigh unto thee. Someone who doesn't have a church home, and yet they believe, but they've been hurt by a church, and they're out of fellowship, but they know that the word says, forsake not the assembling of themselves together. They know that they ought to be in fellowship somewhere, God, but they don't know where, and they're hurt, God. I pray that maybe today, this is the place that you would have for someone. And ultimately, God, maybe there's someone who's never really surrendered their lives. They've been brought up in church, and mama raised them in church. Their daddy took them to church, but church never got inside of them. They've never really understood what it means to have a personal relationship with you, Jesus. And so I ask that if either of those two persons are still here standing in the midst of this congregation, that they would be reminded that the rest of today is not guaranteed and tomorrow is not promised unto them. But they need to seek you while they have an opportunity to do so. And so, Father, draw one more soul. I believe, Holy Ghost, that there is one more here who is just waiting for someone to encourage them, to admonish them, to challenge them to come forward and to let go and let God. Father, have your way. In Jesus' sweet name I pray. Let the church say amen, amen. And amen. God bless you. You may be seated.